You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to Down the Line, the World Cup focused podcast here on the RNIB Connect Radio Network, where we look back at all the news and matches that have taken place over the last week or so in the FIFA World Cup. And as always, joined by Macker and Andrew, who will help me dissect and digest over the last few days all the news, with focusing on Scotland and England, and obviously looking forward to the upcoming matches for the rest of the tournament. So, yeah, first of all, welcome back along, guys. Thanks for being here, Andrew and Macker.
Hello, good morning.
So, since we last spoke, Scotland's knockout, it was confirmed, so we'd kind of left it on a little bit of a cliffhanger. We didn't know if Scotland were going to proceed. We had our doubts, reckoned that they probably would struggle to proceed with the 3 points and the negative goal difference. That was confirmed, I think, on Saturday evening with results going against Scotland. So, yeah, and that obviously then led to Steve Clarke, the manager's resignation, pretty much instantaneously once it was confirmed. So, yeah, just first of all, Macker, a little look back at Scotland in general, on over the World Cup, how you think they've done generally, and then also maybe touch on what the kind of legacy is of Steve Clarke and his resignation.
I think we didn't perform at the World Cup. You would have thought we'd have learned our lessons from the last 2 Euro campaigns, but we didn't. Yeah, very underwhelming, although the Tartan Army were loved by everybody in Boston and in Miami. Scotland needed 11 scenarios to go our way. And unfortunately, only one did, and that was Spain defeating Uruguay. I suppose even if we had beaten Haiti 4-0, because of the results the way they were, with the goals going in, etc., late on in games, we wouldn't have got through anyway. We would have had to beat them 5-0. But Steve Clarke didn't help himself after the game, the way he attended the interview, which happens literally 2 minutes after the final whistle, which is a FIFA requirement, which is crazy in itself, in my opinion, because he's just coming off the park and emotion to running high, but didn't help himself with storming off from Ely Barber. Disappointing, didn't deserve to get through. And what next for Scotland? Well, that's just the thing. Who will take on the mantra of being the next Scotland manager? Players have a lot to answer for as well, because, you know, the squad's going to disband eventually and we're going to need to find some new players. Hopefully our World Cup will be forgotten soon, because it's just left a sour taste in their mouth. When it was easier for teams to get out of their group with the expansion of the World Cup, only Scotland couldn't get out, you know. if anyone's not going to get out of the group, it's Scotland. And, oh, it's such a shame. And I think after having so many highs, Steve Clarke left us with a lot of highs. Also, there's been so many lows. It's turned the nation into getting back into the national team, which is brilliant. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and I'm depressing myself now. So, let's move on.
I think you're right to say probably in the cold light of day, the highs will outweigh the lows of Steve Clarke. I know he's a divisive character and personality, but I think, you know, in years, even decades' time, people look back at this little period of Scottish football where actually we made tournaments, and the memories of guys going across to Boston and Miami will be, they'll certainly be long lived. And hopefully now, with expansion of World Cup and Euros, we can continue to make it through into major tournaments and hopefully go one or two stages further. Good thing is everybody goes across and has a good time, and then the expectation rises, and that's where they falter. But no, I think you're quite right. Yeah, moving along to England. So Wednesday evening, they played against DR Congo, 1-0 down at half-time. Very nearly could have been 2-0 down if it wasn't for a little slice of luck and saving from the post. But saying that, I think the DR Congo goalkeeper had probably the game of his life in that first 45 minutes. And then obviously England coming back and winning the game, a couple of goals from Harry Kane, the talisman, and we'll see them through to the next round. So, yeah, first of all, on the game last night, Andrew.
Yeah, I thought it was, it was exactly what I expected would happen, to be honest. I mean, you see it so much in the league, don't you, where the more attacking team just come up against a low block, and although they've got some good players, they're, it's sometimes hard to break those kind of teams down. And like you say, they're going to, you know, it's the biggest game of their career, so they're not going to want to lose. But it's I think once you find a way through, going 1-0 down early doesn't help. But then once you get the equaliser, it sort of forces their hand a little bit. And then, you know, when Kane gets the winner, the relief was was immense. But they, I think moving forward, you know, Mexico won't sit back, and neither would any team further on. So I think it might, A, might help the England attackers a bit, but then it makes you worry more about defence. But then that's just a worry we can't fix.
I think that's when you see the best of England, though, don't you? Is when teams don't sit back when they come at England, because then England pick them off. And yeah, I think you're right about Bosnia. I don't think Mexico, I don't think they'll sit back at all. I think Mexico will go on England, especially being in their host, you know, in their country. So be an interesting,
it should be a good game.
Yeah, I think that's a huge test for England, actually. I mean, on the face of it, England should be beating Mexico, but when you take into account it's in the Azteca, it's the whole thing around altitude, and it definitely is a factor in sport. And yeah, it's a knockout game for Mexico in front of tens and tens of thousands of people. It's probably an environment that in international football you don't get very often, is probably that environment. So yeah, it will be a tough test. Are you a little bit nervous about this one, Andrew? And even if you do get through this one, it's Brazil in the next round, it's potentially Argentina. I know we're looking quite far ahead, and you don't want to jinx things, but you're looking at a pretty tough run of fixtures, and starting with Mexico and at the Azteca.
Yeah, I think the reliance on Kane is going to be a bit of an issue. I think they're, you know, there's going to have to be more goals from other areas. But then if, like Mac was saying, if I can see them having success, I don't think, you know, they'll talk no end about the atmosphere in Mexico for the game on Monday. But yeah, they've all played in Turkey, the Premier League, they've all played North London derbies or Manchester derbies. The atmosphere won't bother them, and I think they'll be all right. I think playing Mexico in their home tournament is a worry, because you could see how they've fall flat on their face with that. But Brazil, you know, Brazil have played well. They've got a couple of world-class players, but a lot of the players are Premier League. Let's say like Martinelli, you know, Gabriel, you know, those kind of players. That, you know, they're players that they would have come up against many times before. Mm. Although it's, you know, it's Brazil, isn't it? So it's sort of they've got the reputation. And then Argentina, obviously a great team, but it's, you know, a lot of their players based around Messi, isn't it? So it's just depends. I worry more about France, but then probably won't see them until near the final, and I don't think we could look that far ahead.
Yeah, I would go along with that with France. I think France are a really good team, and they've got the potential to win, in my opinion. I agree with you to a certain extent about Brazil. I mean, but the way they play and the way they toyed with us, you know, it was 3-0, but it could have been 5-6. It could have been any score Brazil wanted it to be, let's be fair. So I just think they've got their man's Morocco to a certain extent. You know, they can put on the afterburners when they need to, basically. They go through the gears.
Well, I think Morocco could be the dark horses for me. I mean, they're the ones to watch out for. I'm not 100% sure I'm right, but haven't they got Canada next?
They do.
So that could be, you could see them in the quarterfinals, couldn't you, really? And then I don't know what their route is after that.
So yeah, they play Canada, and then it would be France, likely. As long as France get through Paraguay, that would be their next round.
That could be a good game.
Yeah, yeah, it could be. So looking ahead at England's next game, they'll play Mexico at the Azteca, and that game will be on Monday morning, 1 a.m. So kind of Sunday night into Monday morning, 1 a.m. So England fans getting a little bit of a taste of what Scotland fans have had to put up with over the last couple of weeks of a game finishing while the sun comes up. So you can enjoy that one. And if they win that game, it will be a Saturday game against the winners of Brazil versus Norway. So quite an exciting game to look forward to, Mexico versus England. I'll enjoy that one if I can keep my eyes open and stay awake for that one. I think another success from the World Cup generally has been VAR, which I don't think is something we all expected to be saying. I know VAR can be quite, I was going to say divisive, but actually probably quite unifying in the fact that people don't enjoy it in British football. But I think in the World Cup, it's had a little bit of a different effect. Would you agree with that, Marco?
Yeah, I would. I mean, apart from maybe the Germany game, where they could have had a last-minute goal, I think it was. I think it's been brilliant. I think the amount of times, I don't know if you guys feel the same, but the amount of times I've heard the phrase, oh, well, if that was the Premier League, that would be a penalty. Mm-hmm. It shows you how it sort of ran in our game, doesn't it? I mean, when it's like that in our game, but in the World Cup, it seems to be more harder. Like, whereas in the Premier League, it feels like it was just easier for referees to say, "Oh, I don't want to get the decision wrong here. I'm just gonna use VAR." Whereas you find a lot more referees in the World Cup are using their initiative, And I think it's brilliant. I think that's only can only be a good thing for the game.
Yeah, I'd agree. Andrew, have you quite enjoyed the usage of VAR and actually generally the other rules around substitutes only having 10 seconds? I seen a DR Congo player got booked for that last night, taking too long to come off the pitch. The 5-second throw-in rule, it seems to be the game is much faster at the World Cup than it has been watching the Premier League, or when we watch Scottish football, it can feel very, very slow and stop-start at times. It's been less of that.
Yeah, I think we'll probably see quite a lot of that replicated in the leagues next season. But I mean, the delicacy of VARs, you know, it does everyone a favour, doesn't it? Because no one really knows what's going on. And the more they look at, I think the decision should be left to the ref and the linos, unless it's a really close call. Because otherwise, I think the more they slow the decisions down, or they slow the imaging down for the refs, it just looks so much worse. And I think you do get some really bad decisions when they overanalyze it. And the other thing that I don't like is the hydration breaks. But I mean, that's... That's just for advert. I mean, that won't stick after the World Cup, so that's fine.
I'd like to see them try and introduce that on a cold February
afternoon
in Dundee.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
I know. A cup of tea break, that's what it would be.
Yeah.
So, nice one. Thanks very much, guys, for joining again. Yeah, all the best to England in the game against Mexico. And, yeah, we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, brilliant.
Cheers, lads.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.